Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Branson, Missouri, recording this today just before I leave for Israel. And when you hear this, I will have been arriving. I will be in Israel. And I'm going to be doing a blog. You can go on our homepage, and there you'll find Billy Brim's blog. And we'll try to keep you abreast of what's happening in Israel even while we're there. And we're going to be there for a while. So stay in touch with us. Now, today we're looking at the book of Ephesians and the glorious church. And let's read in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, King James reads, but I'm going to read you from Alexander McLaren. The word saint, and the Bible never calls Christians sinners. The word saint, at its very bottom meaning, simply signifies separation. Whatever is told off, separated from a mass for a specific purpose, would be called, if it were a thing, holy. But there is one kind of separation which makes a person a saint, and that is separation to God for his uses, in obedience to his commandment that he may employ the man as God wills. Thus we get the whole significance of Christian holiness. We are to belong to God and to know that we do belong to him. We are to be separated from the mass of people and things that have no consciousness of ownership and do not yield themselves up to him for his use. In one condition of being holy, one condition of being holy is that we should know whose we are and whom we serve, and we can carry the consciousness of belonging to him into every corner of the poorest, most crowded, and most distracted life, recognizing his presence and seeking to do his will. So when he directs this letter to the saints, that's us. We are owned by God. We're separated for his purposes. Now, Christians are saints because they are believers. The word "and to the faithful in Christ Jesus," it is the Greek word pistos, P-I-S-T-O-S, and it means believer, he that believeth. So this does not simply mean here true and trusty and reliable, but it means believing, having faith. This is written to those who believers in Christ Jesus and who have faith in him. Hallelujah. That's you. That's me. Wherever we live. This is written to the saints and to the believers in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and shalom from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think I better warn you, this next verse sends me. It sends me into the heights of glory. This next verse means so much to me, and I do hope you have my book, The Blood and the Glory, or you have these the book of Ephesians and the glorious church that we've just done, or you have heard our radio broadcasts, how that God showed me man in his beginning. Psalm chapter 8, he was crowned with glory. An angel who watched creation questioned God, "What is man? What is man? That you should have him in your mind, that you should be mindful of him, that you, God, should visit him and call upon him." Oh, God, you crowned him. You crowned him with glory and honor and made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. And then I shared with you the vision that God gave me when he let me see the fall of man and how he asked me, "Do you know Romans?" This is what he introduced the vision to me with. I was in the bathroom getting ready early on a Sunday morning for my Sunday school class, and we only had one bathroom, four kids, two of them were girls. So I was up at 5 o'clock, and I'd put a roast on, and I was in the bathroom thinking about these things, the glory of God. Brother Hagin had been told to study it. I had been studying it. I'd been teaching it, especially teaching the Bible in the light of our redemption, and beginning in Genesis, and I saw that God crowned man with glory. Then I was in this bathroom on this Sunday morning and combing my hair, looking in the mirror, and high up and to my right in the back of me, I heard a voice say, "Do you know Romans 3:23? I was thankful it was one I knew. I was raised Baptist. We led people to the Lord down the Roman road. I said, "Yes." And I whirled around and I said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I fainted, almost fainted. I mean, I grew very weak. The Lord aroused me up with another scripture from Hebrews. "But the captain of your salvation is bringing many sons unto glory." And that revived me. And then God showed me that that was the fall in a nutshell. He crowned man with glory, the glory of God's presence. Man fell from the glory. And then I saw Satan with man cringing behind him. I saw God high and lifted up. I saw a light being. I didn't see him, of course, the throne. I saw him there. And then I saw a great gulf fixed, and down below I saw that man's fall was from the heights of glory down to the depths of a heinous fall to the depths. And I saw Satan there. I saw a man cringing behind him. And I heard Satan say to God, "What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now?" I saw that God didn't answer him. I saw that there was a box, a door, looked to be in God's middle. And it was the light being's middle. I didn't see his face, of course. And I saw this like a door, and on it was written, "Top Secret." And then I shall never forget the day I found 1 Corinthians 2, Paul's revelation of the mystery of God. In fact, the mystery hidden in God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect." That means mature. Folks, a 2,000-year-old church ought to be able to take this. We ought to be mature enough. "It's not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom." Other verses tell us it was hidden in God. "Which God ordained before the world," listen to these words, "unto our glory." God had a mystery. He ordained it before there was ever a world like we know it today, before there was ever an Adam. He knew Adam would fall. It did not come as a surprise. And he had a mystery. He had a plan. He saw that man was going to sin and fall from the glory of God and be separated from the glory. But he already had a plan to lift man back up into the glory of his presence. In fact, that's how the Amplified translates that verse. I'm reading to you now verse 7 from the Amplified Bible. "This is that wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification, to lift us into the glory of his presence." That's the mystery of the church. It is spoken for us in Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Paul said, "I am," in verse 25, "made a minister." This is his revelation. "According to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." And in verse 28, he says, "whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Folks, you are going to be presented into the presence of the glory of God if you are in the church. And that is the meaning of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. This is the verse that I told you I could spend a week on. I could spend a month on it. I get on this verse and can't get off it. It says in verse 3, Blessed be the God. Actually, verse 4 is the one I'm talking about. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. We, the church of the living God, the glorious church. The mystery concerning us is that we have been lifted back up to a place where we can stand, where we can sit before God's face. We're going to be talking more about this, but let's read verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. The scope of this book is in the heavenlies. Listen to what is written in the Numerical Bible. The epistle to the Ephesians carries us to the height of Christian position. It is, as we well know, the epistle of the heavenly places. Christ is seated there, and we are seated together in him. The blessings that it's talking about here, the spiritual blessings, are Holy Spirit-given blessings. And these are Holy Spirit bliss. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Every blessing in these heavenlies is in Christ. We'll be talking more about it tomorrow. But this is according as he can give us these heavenly blessings because he has chosen us, the church, in him before the foundation of the world. Before Adam fell, that we should be holy and without blame before him. The period should come there. It does in the American Standard. It does in the NIV. King James has it also going in love, but that goes with the next phrase. The translators put in the punctuation. The picture is there's a group. There's a body that he has chosen. It's the ecclesia, it's the church, it's the saints in the body of Christ, that we, he has chosen us before Adam fell, before Adam was even created, that we should be holy and without blame before him. We really get to go into this much more in our recent teaching, the book of Ephesians and the glorious church. You can have that. The CDs for $65, the DVDs for $85, the complete set for $125. We will give you absolutely free Brother Hagin's book, In Him, just for calling us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. Order the Book of Ephesians in the Glorious Church that we just completed, or order for free In Him by Kenneth E. Hagin. This is Billy Brim saying, grace and peace, shalom to you, saints and believers. Until tomorrow.